It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. In the first week of April, mortgage financier Fannie Mae reported record earnings for the fourth quarter. 2012 was their first profitable year since 2006. Yet, the March jobs report was poor. So, with a recovering housing market and fluctuating employment numbers, what does this say about the stability of our financial system? Are we on the road to recovery? Is it safe to jump back into the stock market? And what are the best ways to do it? I'm joined now in Studio A by Rosalyn Wilkinson, Vice President of MD&A Financial Management and Registered Representative of Berthel Fisher & Company Financial Services. Rosalyn Wilkinson, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And if you'd like to take part in the conversation, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at essspgh and follow the conversation at hashtag EPLive. What has been your approach to the stock market in the last few years? We'd like to hear from you. 412-246-2002. So, Rosalyn Wilkinson, how safe is it to invest, and what kinds of investing should be done when the market is volatile, which it still seems to be?
Well, we recommend people put together a financial plan and accordingly a strategy, and that dictates their investments. They need to put together what their goals are, whether they're short-term, mid-term, long-term, and then we can put together what the strategy is for that plan.
So the housing market looks to be coming back. What does this say about the economy overall? Because I would imagine that where our economy is going to dictate what people do going forward.
Well, certainly. I think there are some positive signs. Certainly what you hear in the news are the negative things. But there have also been positive signs, like Fannie Mae. There have been some disappointing numbers, but positive indicators too. The trade deficit narrowed last month. Private payrolls are up. So there are opportunities in every different type of investment market, both good and bad.
And if the economy is indeed becoming more stable, how risky is it to take on new investments?
Well, new depends on where you're starting from. So we try and make sure people have diversified portfolios, what investments are representative in their portfolios, and what could add some diversification.
So why diversify? Why have your money? What somebody really likes a particular stock and they want to just put all their money into that. Why should they not do that and look at other things or balance it out that way?
Well, putting it all into one stock is the don't have all your eggs in one basket sort of philosophy is why we would put in different types of investments and different types of securities move in different ways. Like stocks can be much more volatile than bonds, which is much more volatile than cash. So you don't want all of your eggs in one basket, mostly because you hear those scary stories of whatever particular firm it might be in the current economy has some tragedy that's completely unexpected.
And we've certainly heard enough horror stories in the last 4 or 5 years. What do you say to somebody who's just really skittish and says, you know, I don't trust these investment houses. I'd rather just throw my money under my mattress.
Well, unfortunately, your mattress isn't earning anything, so it's not throwing off any kind of interest or dividends, anything like that. I think in general,
but your mattress isn't going to lose your money either.
Well, over the long term, it probably will, though, because it won't provide you any kind of income, won't provide you any protection from inflation. And unfortunately, that's what kind of pushes people into the equity markets. As for distrusting the financial industry or the stock market, I think that gets back to bad news making news, and you hear the horror stories of the investment banks or that Wall Street isn't on Main Street's side. But the reality is those companies have employees that are going to work every day trying to grow their firms and do the best thing for their customers. So underlying all the big news about the stock market are a bunch of large corporations run by individuals with other individuals working for them trying to grow their business and serve their customers.
I think that maybe one of the problems you're citing or the perceptions that people have of Wall Street not being in line with Main Street is the idea that of what some of the employees of these companies are making, particularly people at the top. You know, does anybody ever bring that up to you? And if so, what do you say to them?
Well, then, unfortunately, that's something we can't control, and that's just the nature of the business world these days. It doesn't seem fair that some executives are making several multiples of what their employees are making, but that's just sort of the nature of where we are right now. It's disproportionate, and it's unfair to middle-class people and certainly the poor and distressed. But just like it seems absurd to me that professional sports players are paid huge amounts of money, the same I think you could be said for CEOs.
Rosalind Wilkinson is our guest. She's vice president of MDNA Financial Management and registered representative of Berthel Fisher & Company Financial Services. If you'd like to join the conversation, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. That's 412-246-2002. As we continue with the special segments during Financial Literacy Month, are you interested in jumping back into the stock market? And if so, how do you do it? That's what we're here to try to answer for you. We'd like to hear about your experiences and advice that you might share from your personal experiences. 412-246-2002, the number to call. Rosalind, what can be said about the historic mistrust of the stock market? You mentioned earlier, okay, if you're skittish, you can put your money into bonds. Would it be better to stick with bonds for somebody in particular who's just worried about what's going to happen?
Well, any type of investment has its own risks. Certainly, bonds don't fluctuate like the stock market does, but bonds fluctuate based on interest rates or the underlying credit quality of whoever is issuing the bond. So I don't know that we could say that any definitive investment was safe necessarily. They all have their own risks, and most of them fluctuate unless it's money in the bank or your mattress.
Going back to that mattress example again. For the average young person, the stock market is unexplored territory for them. They might have, for the first time in their lives, a little bit of money, a little bit of discretionary income. They are wisely starting to look into planning for their future. They come to you. What do you recommend?
I recommend they start to learn as much as they can. And typically the first place to do that is looking into employer-sponsored retirement plans like a 401k. Those offer diversified investments, and they also provide some tax-sheltered savings. But the most important thing is for young people to just save, to save any amount, to get started saving, to save regularly, because that's what's really going to determine their long-term financial security. It's not whether Company A did better than Company B. They just need to have a plan and to start saving aggressively.
Now, there might be somebody out there who's listening to this who's in, say, their 40s. So they're in middle age and they're not young anymore, and maybe they haven't saved as much as they should or anything at all, or they've lost money on investments. Is there ever a point at which it's too late to try to put some kind of a plan together?
I don't think it's ever too late. You need to start saving. People generally don't think about their long-term financial savings until maybe their mid-30s. That's usually the youngest anybody comes to see me. I wish they would come sooner, but it seems like in their mid-30s, that's when they've started to have kids. That's when they can see their retirement on the horizon. And at that age, time starts to move very quickly, so you feel like you're running out of time. But the sooner you start, the better off you're going to be, and even a little bit, just to get in the habit of savings.
Does it help to try and invest in socially responsible companies?
Well, socially responsible investing is certainly probably the newest segment of the investment markets and provides lots of opportunities. But just like anything, I think you need to look into your research and decide what your priorities are. Because in the socially responsible field, you can stay away from companies like tobacco companies or big pharma or oil and gas and virtually anything in between, even looking as far as what are the manufacturers doing? Is the manufacturer that's making the companies for or making the products for the company, are they being made overseas, offshore? And do you have human rights violations that you're concerned about? So I think it's just a matter of setting what your priorities are.
Is there a way to do that? To be cognizant of all those things, take them all into consideration and still, you know, make money?
It is, but I think you have to realize that maybe you're making some kind of sacrifice there because maybe your returns are not going to be as high, because the reality is that offshore manufacturing can be extremely inexpensive for a company. So that makes sense as a business case. And some very profitable companies over time have not necessarily been the most socially responsible.
And so you might make in the long run a little less money, but you'll be able to sleep better. So.
Exactly. And some people decide they don't want to worry about being socially responsible in their investment portfolio. Instead, they rather do that in a personal basis with their own time and efforts as opposed to thinking about it, worrying about it on the investment side.
We have a tweet from Rich who says, in response to our question, what's my approach to stock market investing? Stock the markets for good places to invest. What's he talking about?
I don't think I understand his question.
Okay, he's saying that he stalks the market. I would take that to mean that he is watching things like a hawk, really paying attention to those numbers, and maybe doing a little more than just reading the numbers in the paper or what you hear on NPR, for example.
Well, as far as individual stocks that you should pay attention to, I think you have to do your own research or work with an investment advisor, because if you're just following the news, you don't necessarily know the whole story. And bad news makes news, and people many times on financial shows are looking to fill advertising time. So they've got their own agendas. So I think you need to do your own research or work with an investment advisor who's studying stocks and can look at the big picture.
So many people's retirement funds are tied up in the stock market because of their 401ks. Will the recent good run on Wall Street bode well for them?
If they're invested heavily in large cap domestic stocks, yes. March was a very good month and was all over the news because of that, reaching record highs that it hasn't seen since October 2007. But there were certainly parts of the investment markets that didn't do as well, like emerging markets, for example. Again, though, you need a diversified portfolio. So you need some large company stocks, probably smaller stocks, different parts of the growth markets.
We've seen that the stock market is doing well. The housing market is better. But we're still not seeing, you know, the kinds of jobs numbers. And the most recent report for March did not bode well for adding to those numbers. So what do you say to people that are skittish about that?
Well, unfortunately for the small investor, there aren't all that many opportunities or avenues that you can put small sums of money to work. So you have to look about what's your access to any kind of long-term investment. We don't know where the economy is going. We never know where the economy is going, but I'm confident that the people in charge of both the domestic economy and Europe are smart people. I think that they don't get enough credit for doing everything that it takes or that needs to be done to keep their economies on strong footing.
For those prepping for retirement, what is a smart way to proceed when getting back into the stock market?
Well, I think with anything, you need a plan and a strategy. You need to put together a timeline of when you are actually going to retire and how much money you need. One thing that people don't necessarily focus on before retiring is it's all about how much you're going to spend. I mean, for somebody who's used to spending $30,000 a year, they might need to take less aggressive investments, whereas somebody who needs a lot higher income, of course, depending on how much money they're starting with, they might want to or need to be more aggressive.
Could pensions bounce back?
Oh, I think pensions can certainly bounce back, but pensions are a dying breed, so to speak, in our economy. Companies are just not taking on that responsibility anymore. They're pushing it onto the employee through plans like 401ks or 403b plans.
Roslyn Wilkinson is Vice President of MDNA Financial Management and a registered representative of Berthel Fisher & Company Financial Services. Thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh and providing us with some very sound financial advice.
Thanks very much for having me.
Coming up, our sports guy, Bob Dvorak, looks at the Pittsburgh connection to fired Rutgers basketball coach Mike Rice. But first, an honor is bestowed on the city of Latrobe. That's coming up when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.